Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just want to ask you to come and anoint us in this service. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that have already been sung and the Bible study and the children's lesson, everything you've already given to us. But I just pray right now for my brother James as he shares what you've laid on his heart. And Lord, I pray for his throat. He mentioned that he was having a little trouble with it. I pray that you would just give him grace and healing to communicate this message, whatever is necessary there. Lord, you know, and we thank you that you know. And we thank you for your healing power. And Lord, we just pray that you'd also be with us as we listen, that we would go away changed. I pray that you would bless the work up there at Gates. I pray that you'd bless all of us in the work that we're doing. We just commit this week to you with its activities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be gathered here this morning in this way. And I'm confident that we will never gather this way again. I greet you this morning in a name that is higher than any other name. And we're going to preach about him this morning. I stand here to preach none other and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure how this is all going to come out yet. So I trust that you were praying for me. I would like to write the title on the board. And while I'm doing that, could you sing one verse of 451, I think. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Is the title of that song, I believe. So, if you would please, just sing one verse of that. Notice I put, are you a real Christian? So I'm going to be speaking to you today. And that includes me. I thought about putting we in there. But I'm speaking personally to you. And that includes us all. But I want you to take an evaluation of your heart today. I'm preaching today a burden that's on my heart that I can't get, it just doesn't go away. And I'm preaching a message because I have a burden that people are not getting born again. They're going through some actions and they're doing some things toward that, but they're not getting born again. You hear me? Amen. We're living in a society, and brothers and sisters, it's not out there. Amen? It's coming right in and amongst us. Young people, are you getting born again? Are you a real Christian? Do you walk like a Christian? Do you talk like a Christian? Do you act like a Christian? Why is it such a big burden on my heart? Because there are thousands and thousands going to hell every day. And you and I can make a difference if we are a real Christian. There were a lot of verses I was going to read prior to the getting into the message, but for the sake of time, turn to Matthew 5. By the grace of God, I'm going to try to go through this Sermon on the Mount, and then when we get done, I want you to examine your heart and see if you are a real Christian or if you're just going through a lot of actions. I'm going to start reading in chapter 5, verse 1. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness today? Righteousness. The righteousness that comes from God. There's a lot of people who claim to be righteous, but they're righteous in their own self. They're picking up themselves. Are you righteous today according to Christ? Are you following after His righteousness? Are you longing after it? Is it your desire the moment you get out of bed? I've got to make a disclaimer. I don't have all this mastered, brothers and sisters. But I'm endeavoring that away. And I trust you are all too. I'm not preaching this message to a bunch of unbelievers. I don't believe that. But let's just examine ourselves today with the Word of God. Amen? With the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God and it'll stand forever. It'll never, never diminish. Often wondered about that. Will it burn? Not if it's in the heart, it won't. Because it's righteous. And we have it in our hearts and we're righteous. Therefore it won't burn. Amen? Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Question for you. Can you proclaim today to be pure in heart? Pure. Spotless. Unblameable. Or are we just, it's just an outside form? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you're pure in heart, when you step outside the door, you can see God. This doesn't just mean when we meet Him. We see Him every day if we're pure in heart. So if we want to be a real Christian today, we need to be pure in heart. Got to keep going. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. How is it when you go to the city? Or do you fit in maybe? Are you different enough that they'll see there, what's that? What's going on there? I might have to share a testimony with you later on. They need to see something different. Different. They need to see something act different. They need to see something that talks different. And then they will say, no, I don't want that. Does that happen? Or do you fit in enough that you can just walk right along the side of them and fit right in? It's happening right before our eyes on our own kind of people. That's not talking about that real persecution that I believe that's coming yet. Do they just reject you because you are different? Got to keep moving. Verse 13, heading of this chapter, this portion of Scripture says, God's people make a difference. So are you making a difference? Am I making a difference? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, and be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So if you are a real Christian, everything about you is real, and you can't hide it. It will not be hidden. What's in the heart will come out of the mouth. What's in the heart, your feet will go. What's in the heart, your hands will handle. If you are a real Christian, and that's deep rooted in your heart, then it will show. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We had a family gathering here a couple weeks ago, right before we came to Oregon. And the men of each family had to share something that could be uplifting for us all. And my son-in-law, he's not a big speaker. He doesn't talk. He's gaining. He's gaining by the grace of God. He was so quiet. Anyways, he shared this. He's a baker. He bakes bread and rolls. And one day he got an order of some dinner rolls. And he put these dinner rolls out to raise. And he said they went out of control. And he's saying, what did I do wrong? I did everything the same. So he put them in the proofer. And the proofer, they just went out of control. So he thought, well, I'll get the oven lit and I'll put them in the oven. And he put them in the oven and they shrunk all the way down to nothing. Now he said, I've got to figure out what I did wrong. What do you suppose he did wrong? What do you suppose he forgot? He forgot to put the salt in. You get the message? You need to be salt in the earth. Just like there needs to be salt in the rolls. So it can work. It can come out right. You've got to have all the ingredients today that we're going to talk about in order to be a real Christian. You let one out and you'll go flat. You won't function well. I've tried that a few years of my life. I was sure that I could keep a whole lot of myself involved with all that I did. I was wrong. Verse 17, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law until it be fulfilled. Whosoever shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's clear. You have to rise above that. Verse 21. This title of this portion of Scripture in my Bible says, Jesus talks about anger. How are we doing with that, brothers? When I ask these questions, I'm asking myself the same question, so please understand that. How are we doing with anger? It needs to go. We need to get victory over it. You have heard that it was said by them in old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of a judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakai, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remaineth that thy brother hath aught against you. How are we? I could share a testimony of something that was between a brother and myself, and things weren't going well. Had to go get it taken care of. I said something pretty rough to him. Had to take care of it. Because I want to be a real Christian. I don't want to hear the words when I come to the throne of God and, no, I don't know you. None of us want that. So we're going to have to figure out today if we're a real Christian. And you know the rest of that. Now the next portion of Scripture. How is it with our moral sins, our moral activities? And we all know all about that, what it says. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh at a woman and to lust after hath committed adultery in his heart already. How is it, brothers? It's a downfall of our society. It has wrecked many marriages, and it is still wrecking marriages, and men are not faithful. Brothers, we need to get it right. We got something that's it just won't work. You can say I'm a Christian as loud as you want to, and you can scream it out of the housetops. But if there's something within that needs to be fixed, we need to fix it. Right. And I praise God that we can fix it. We have a master, and he has his hands hovering down over us all day long. He never lets his hands down. He has it over you, protecting you. If there's something going on, will you just take care of it? Because he's waiting. He's waiting. I'm going to go to verse 37. But let your communication be yeah, yeah. And your no, no. How is it? Talked about it this morning. The young man that cried wolf. How is it when you talk to somebody and you tell him something? Can he say, I believe it because that man says the truth? Or can you kind of, brothers, we need to, it needs to be right. What do they say when they see us? Well, I have questions about him a little bit. Him or her. I don't want to pick on the men. But us men have a big responsibility that we walk uprightly. And we show ourselves forth as we're Christians so our wives can follow that example. Amen? If us men can't walk faithfully, how do you expect our wives to walk faithfully? It's not going to happen. It's going to be a struggle, I'll put it that way. It's going to be a struggle. Love your enemies. How are we doing with that? You have heard that it has been said, eye for eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, But whosoever shall smite thee on one cheek, turn the other. I'm paraphrasing some of these verses, okay? Is that right? Just turn the other one. I never had that experience that I know of, but I think it goes further than turning the cheek. Way further than turning the cheek. If any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have the cloak also. It's not fight. And whosoever shall come to thee, go with thee a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow to thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love the neighbor and hate the enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How is it going? How is it going with that one? Somebody you just about can't tolerate somebody, how he acts and what he does. How are we doing? Love him. Love him. I could share testimonies, but I don't have time for a lot of testimonies today. That you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Do so as well. Verse 48. Be ye perfect. Can we repeat that with me? Be ye perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. Oh, there's no way. You quote that to some people and there's no way we can be perfect. And you know we can on our own. But is that a desire to be perfect as he is perfect? Or is it just doesn't really matter? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. I'm going in chapter 6. I know there's a lot more that could be covered in chapter 5. Don't do good works with praise. Is that a battle? Maybe you're able to put $5 in an offering plate or maybe $5,000 in the offering plate and nobody sees that. But what about when we go out and do something? And I struggle because that's what we do, okay? And we get a lot of praise. Oh, we're so thankful that you came and you built us a new house. We need to keep this in perspective. We have to. And I can't say that I have it all mastered. How to respond that we don't receive that praise on our own. But it has to be there. Has to be there. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. You know the scriptures. You know what they say there and all that. I don't have time to expound on it. We just know what it says and what it means, right? Amen? So if we want to be real Christians, then we have to master it somehow. There are times. This is probably a very critical one because we're humans, and we like to hear. I'm talking for myself, and I'm going into the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to go to a big one, and I know where I was for many years in this one. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corner of the streets, and in the that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward you openly. I don't believe that means literally get into a closet and shut the door, but it's okay. But I believe it's a good place to just cry out to God, to pick a place and cry out to God. And I have to confess that my prayer life needs some improvement. Busy, busy, busy. Gotta go, gotta get up, gotta go. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard of such for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye even ask. Praise the Lord. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom of and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men's trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How is that? How is it? I grew up a bitter man, because rightly so, there are some men did some things that were not the best, weren't good. But as far as I know today, I have forgiven them all. As far as I know. How is it? It's a big one. I had a meeting with a young man one time, and I'd done something to him that offended him. So I had a meeting with him. There's a long story, and we sat down, and I finally asked him, what is it that I done that you didn't like? He told me what it was. I'm not going to go there. It was all due to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was offended by how I brought it forth. And I said, it's possible that I brought it forth in a way that could have offended you. And I said, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And the young man looked me square in the eyes. He said, nope, I will not. So I went into the Bible and I read this. Don't you believe that? Yeah, but I'm not going to forgive you. That was very hard. And I tried to share with a young man that if you go in eternity that away, he said, well, it really don't matter. That was worst case scenario. Most times it'll work. But we have to do our part. We have to do our part first and foremost, not to endeavor to offend anybody, to make them have an ill feeling toward us. We could go into that. So anyways, if there's something that you are holding against someone, or maybe you know someone that's holding something against you, you got to get it fixed. At least endeavor to. Amen? Because this is our goal right here. that God can look down and say, yes, he or she is a Christian because of how he acts, talks, and looks, and goes forth that way. Anyways, I'm going to go to the next one. The next one is fasting, and I already know that I got to improve in that. Just going to be honest with you. How you fast on a cam base? That's difficult. Got to eat. Then we got to go again. I need to. We all know what that is. I could probably say we all would struggle with that. So anyway, there's different ways we can fast, and God can be pleased. We just won't go there. We're going to go to the next one. True riches. Verse 19 in chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can't really deceive anybody. The things that you're going after is what's in your heart. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? I pondered over that verse and I am not quite sure if I have it right yet. But I want you to ponder on what I'm going to share. I believe that we as human beings can gather things up and impute it in our heart and call it righteous. And God hates it. How do you explain that? I believe if you want to take an example, I believe just go to the scribes and the Pharisees. They in their heart believed from the bottom of their heart what they were doing was right. Amen? Nobody could tell them any different. Jesus Christ did. He tried to tell them different, but they wouldn't hear him. Because in their heart, they're right. And God hated it. That's as clear as I can make it, what that verse says. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters and be a real Christian. It's not possible. Then the next one, I have a little difficult time to bring it out. The next one, the portion of scripture that I'm going to be reading is about worry. I preached this message in the Philippines here several months ago, and it didn't go so well for some of them. But anyways, therefore, if I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I know we have, we go through life and things get tough sometimes. And we do worry. We do. And I don't know how to, other than go to verse 33. Let's not let worry captivate us. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? If we are, then I believe our worry will be lessened. While we're seeking God, let's have a vision of what he's got for us. Eternity and glory. Yeah, with the things, busyness of life, and got to go get this done, got to get this done, got children to take care of, and I understand how worry can come in. But let's seek God and his righteousness, and I believe the worry level will come down. Now, there's a difference between concerned and worried. We all have deep concerns about situations and issues. But I believe what God's saying, that worry, actually worry is not upbuilding. So God bless you in this time of raising your children. And you have, I know you have things to be concerned about. I know that. So anyways, I'm going to go to the next chapter, chapter 7. Making judgments, judge not that you be not judged. That's a famous verse today. Don't you dare judge me. How many times have you heard that? Hear it a lot. And how to respond to that question when you get asked or when you're told that? And no, I'm not going to judge you. But I know someone that is. And he will judge righteously. And he will judge you on the day of eternity whether you're a real Christian or not. I don't have to. I'm not, by the way. That's not for me to do. But God will. And he will put righteous judgment on it. And at that point, nothing will change. It'll be that way. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and what measure ye shall mete, it shall be measured unto you again. We know about the beam in the eye. Let's be careful. Let's be careful to tell your brother that, hey, you got a big beam in your eye. Why don't you help me help get it out? Let's be careful. But I believe if we are a real Christian, we will be careful. We will be. I'm going to move on to verse 13. There's much more that could be said, but I'm running out of time. I'm going to start in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Here it is, brothers and sisters. Let's look for it. Let's ask for it. And it shall be opened unto you. Let's go to 13. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Today, let's examine ourselves. Are you on that narrow way? It's not that hard. Just ask. We just read it. Ask. God, help me. I'm struggling with this area. Just ask. And he'll just give it to you. Isn't that what it said? And it shall be opened up unto you. So if you're struggling to stay on the narrow way, just ask God to help you. And he will. Don't be discouraged when it says, and many are on the wide road. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged when it says there's a few on the narrow road. Because the Bible says in Revelation that there was a multitude of people. Right? Amen? Of all types of people. And they were those that had been washed in the blood of the Lamb, dressed in the robe of white. That doesn't sound like a few, does it? So you can be a part of that few on that narrow road. You can be walking righteously. But we have to line up our righteousness with this. Brothers and sisters, you can't come up on it with your own self, your own agenda. It won't work. You'll fall flat just like my brother, my son-in-law's bread fell flat. Won't be fit to eat. And you won't be fit for the kingdom unless you walk on the narrow road according to this. You can erase everything I said this morning and go here and walk according to this. And then you are a real Christian. There are many, many, many trying to do it on their own. Many. Too many. You were born to be this. You were created to be this. God didn't make you to walk any other way. He created you to be a real Christian. The other choice is your choice, not God's. It's your choice. It's my choice. How are we doing with it? Is the question I keep asking myself. How am I doing? I have to do this yet. Let's go to the end of that scripture where the foolish man and the wise man built a house. The wise man built, he dug deep. The scripture saith in Luke 6, he dug deep. Brothers and sisters, if you haven't done this process yet, you need to do it. You need to dig deep and you need to get on the rock of Jesus Christ so you can stand when things come against you. I'm going to read the portion of that scripture in Luke 6, verse 48. Verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and he digged deep. And he laid the foundation. I always thought maybe the foundation was Jesus Christ, and it is. But here it says he laid the foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. So now the foundation and the rock all become one. But have you dug? Have you dug deep? Are you on the rock of Jesus Christ? If you're not on the rock of Jesus Christ, forget trying this. Forget trying to stand. When things come bombarding against us, forget it. Because you'll fall flat if you're not on the rock of Jesus Christ. Because here it says, and when the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it. Why could it not shake it? Because it was on the rock of Jesus Christ. If this process hasn't taken place yet, then you're probably not there yet. Am I being too blunt and plain? But the word says that it could not shake it because it was built upon the rock, because it was founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. How are we doing? Is there something you're still struggling with? I know what it was for me. I know I was digging my foundation. I know I was endeavoring to get on the rock. But there was something that was hindering me. I was the most selfish person that ever walked in our community. I am certain of that. And I was born again. But there was something wrong. Finally, one day, you need to get rid of yourself. So I dug a little deeper. Tough digging when it gets down there. And there's one thing that you try to hold on to. How is it today? Are you on that rock? Are you firmly planted on that rock? The foolish man, he did the same thing, and the floods rose and it beat vehemently on that house. And what happened? It fell. And it says, and great was the fall. So brothers and sisters, I come here today with a burden. And I'm thankful that you left me really unleash it. So may God bless you as you endeavor to walk according to this. And it will bring challenges. That is for sure. But let's not faint in those challenges, because if we faint, then it's over. May God bless you, and I'm going to turn time over to the moderator.
Thank you, Brother James, for sharing your burden. As I think back over this last 2 hours that we've spent together, there's things that stand out to me. In the Bible study, there was a verse about those who watch for your souls as they that must give account. And that's a heavy burden. If it's possible that someone that you're trying to lead, whether that's your children, whether that's people in a church, that you could give account in a time of, in a way that's grievous, that you're going to have grief when that day comes. That's a heavy burden. Brother James preached this morning knowing that there could be people sitting right here under the sound of his voice that day is going to bring grief. And so he preached in a way to clear himself. And I thought of this, there's an old saying that says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, and he brought the water to us this morning and said, drink from it. He was encouraging us to do it. He encouraging us to ask this question, are you a real Christian? Encouraging us to examine ourselves. Are we really in the faith? But he can't force us to do that. We have to choose to do that examining. We have to choose to ask, am I a real Christian? And then examine ourselves. And go back and read those words again. And do all those things, you know, whether it's humbling ourselves and praying and fasting and forgiving and all the things that are necessary to really call ourselves a Christian. Benjamin shared that verse in 1 John 3:3. Every man has this hope purifies himself. Are you purifying yourself? You know, that's the water. We were led to that water this morning. But the people leading us to the water can't force us to drink from that water. So purifying ourselves is something we have to choose to do. Examining ourselves is something we have to choose to do. So thank you, Brother James, for leading us to the water. I believe you've done your part. You've cleared yourself. But now it's in our court. What are we going to do with that water that we've been led to? Are we going to drink it, or are we going to be like that horse that looks there in the stock tank and, well, yeah, I'm really, really thirsty, but I don't think I will today. I don't think I'm going to drink. And, you know, here's the owner of the horse. Well, here's what you need. And he just sits there and looks at it and doesn't want to drink anything. The horse is kind of sick and he's not doing well, but he needs some water. He's not taking it. So it's tempting when we struggle, when we fail, to look for someone to blame. Well, he didn't lead me to the right water trough. Well, he didn't put enough clean water in there. He didn't give us enough, but we were led to clean water this morning. We were led to the pure words of Jesus, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And, you know, if we don't drink, if we don't open up those windows of heaven, those windows of grace, there was these three passages that are here. I think the whole passage is this way. But God gives us these promises and says, if you do these things, your Father's going to reward you openly. But can we make people do them? No, we can't. We can at least lead them. So that's what I want to encourage you to do. Take the things, the promises that God has said, and open up the windows of heaven. Let the grace of God pour into your life. If you don't have that grace, then he said, he's not asking, are we a real Christian? Are you a real Christian? So I'm going to open it up. If somebody has something you'd like to share, a testimony, maybe a confession, maybe a request for prayer. Maybe there's something in your life that you want to share. Let me open it up, and we'll close when you're done sharing. So who has something you'd like to share this morning? Amen.
Rather than just using the excuse, well, it's just business, because in the business world, there's a lot of room for not being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Being a little under the table. But is that what Christ is telling us?
Right.
When there's the last dollar laying on the table, or when we're asked for, we'll let it go.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Provides things honest in the sight of all men, not just your personal life, but your business life. Thank you, Carl. Anyone else?
What stood out to me was toward the end, he said, forget trying to stand and be a Christian if you aren't building their own Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just forget it. All that, everything you said before, just forget it. And if you're not going to build on the rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. Building on the solid rock. And Brother James, you brought in couple different aspects of our Christian life. You talked about the beginning. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But most of the sermon was not focused on the beginning. It was focused on the walk after the beginning. But both of those questions are important to answer this one. Are you a real Christian? It's not just, did you have a beginning back there somewhere? You should have, and it's right to have that beginning, and it's good to maybe ask if I've never had that beginning. But what about now? Am I continuing to live this life? Am I continuing to walk with Jesus in these areas? Am I continuing to, how do you put it there, Austin, stand on the rock? You can't have you're not going to have the relationship, you're not going to have the victory unless you're building on the right foundation. So we can go back and ask that question, you know, hey, what about back then, you know, at the time that I made a commitment? That's good and right. But what about now? What about what choices I've made since then? Anyone else?
One thing that stood out to me towards the beginning was the blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Mm-hmm. I think that it's very easy for my own life to feel like, okay, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not being covetous. I wasn't covetous today. I didn't have lustful thoughts today, and you begin to, okay, I commit no sins today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but are we really hungering, are we really pressing in, or are we just kind of stagnant in taking some sermon, maybe feeling good about it, but are we pressing in?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I spent some time, I this is not normal, but I looked up one verse because it's been on my mind, and it led me to another verse, and it reminded me of a third one, so I looked that up. And I didn't have the right wording, so it didn't come up on my Bible app, so I Googled it. Mm-hmm. And Google came through, found the verse reference, and it just, and the more I dug, it just drew me in, mm-hmm. and it was encouraging. And to see and to witness, you know, James is passionate about the word
mm-hmm.
At his older age than me, and he's still passionate.
Amen.
And so it's a living word that
Amen.
You cannot exhaust it. Mm-hmm. You can never figure it out. It's just it's a blessing.
Amen. I was blessed by that too. Thank you, Benjamin. Amen. Thank you, Chad. Thank you for sharing that. Let's do pray for him, all of us.
Appreciate that you brought up an aspect of our purity of our heart, just how we're living intentional and being hungry and thirsty. But he mentioned the analogy of a beacon on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about people who are an example of good things, whether that be gymnastics or that be car racing or whatever, you know, whatever. They're good because of all the prep work they do. If we're just reacting, then we're going to be reacting in the flesh. We're going mm-hmm. to be reacting in anger. We're going to be reacting in covetousness. We're going to break. But if we're preparing, if we're allowing in our quiet time, if we're allowing in our reading time, we are allowing in the time that we set under the word to have the Holy Spirit affect our hearts, then we, in all of that, are preparing. And in that preparation, we can be that beacon that the Lord lifts up and draws men to Him, mm-hmm. rather than just us being fleshly. So this is excellent work.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Who else?
Stood out to me when he talked about the salt and light. That I heard a message one time, and you know, that's been on my mind. I just listened to it lately, and so that's been on my mind lately. You know, you can't salt. You can't salt salt with salt. Does that make sense? You can't
explain.
Light with light. It just don't work. You have to be that.
Mm.
You know, if you want to make salt, you can't make. I know what I mean, but I'm not sure I'm saying it right. But you can't salt with salt, so to speak. I mean, we need to be that to the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what was talked about, being the beacon, holding up the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I have a question for you all. Are you ready to be tested? You know, we can, after a sermon like this, we can look at these issues of honesty and anger and lust and things like that and say, wow, I'm committed to walk in freedom in those areas. But you know, if there is an area that the devil thinks it can get you in, or that God knows that you need work in, a testing will likely come. And are you ready for it? Are you prepared for it? And sometimes we're not sure. I know yesterday I was entering into some tax forms into some software, and I'd enter a bunch in, and I think, okay, now I can walk away and come back. Well, they're all gone. Had to start back over. I had to do that 4 times with one client. And I decided, you know what, I'm not walking away. I'm going to stick this thing, you know. But, you know, as I was getting close to the end and thinking, wow, I sure hope I don't have to leave for any reason, it went through my mind, would I pass the test if it happened a fifth time, you know, that this all got deleted? I said, well, God, I want to be the kind of person that would pass that test, but wow, I'm not sure. This isn't going so well, you know. Well, thankfully, I made it. You know, I think maybe God knew, hey, I don't know, that I'd used up all the grace for that day. I don't know, but it was, there was not some, just thinking of the people who wrote that software up at Oregon Department of Revenue, I thought, they really need help. And, but I guess God knows what we can handle, but he might push us to the max sometimes. And he knows where there's been an area of failure. And so he'll say, well, look, before you get to grade two, you got to get done with grade one, and you got to pass this test and pass it consistently before you can move on to the next level of grace. So are you ready for that? Are you ready this week to be tested in an area that God knows you're not done with that grade yet? I guess make a decision. Make a decision. Am I going to be a real Christian? And am I going to see the test coming when it starts coming? That's kind of challenging. Maybe somebody else has some thoughts on how we can do that. We're not in any hurry. It's 15 minutes past 12, but that's just the clock. So somebody have something else to share. Maybe some counsel for the rest of us who need more growth. Maybe a question in your own heart. Mm-hmm. He didn't prepare his heart. That's good.
One thing that stuck out to me that James said at the end there, he made a comment that as you're digging down to find that rock, he said it can get pretty tough down there. It can pretty, get pretty hard down there. And I heard another pastor say this once, but it stuck with me. That's kind of your will down right before you hit that rock. It's you kind of at that last part of fighting through your will and picking up your cross and dying to yourself. And that's what it sometimes takes for us to get down to the rock.
Amen. Take up the cross. Let a man, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And what is it that's dying on the cross? Your will. Anyone else? Benjamin, do you have a song or a verse of song that we could close in after this? Okay. Yes. Which one was that again? Was that 451, the last verse? That would be a great one. Real quick, anybody have something to share before we sing? Okay. Well, why don't we do that? And actually, Brother James, after the song, would you pray for us then as well? So maybe we could stand and sing the last verse of that song, and then we'll have prayer and be dismissed.
Trust in your will, then, because we know it's right. So, Father, we just ask. strength and courage, and that we can live out